this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
With our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Maldoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me here in a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website at redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. Which contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, Roku, and at least a dozen other websites. You can listen to the station using their Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following. For Studio A, 605-562-4209, and for Studio B, 518-712-0045. Before we start the show, let's give a shout-out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates, WDDQ, FM 92.1, Adel, Georgia, WSFB, 1490 AM, Talk 97.7 FM, Quitman, Georgia, WJNW, AM 1650, Hermitage, Tennessee, Talk Radio, AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona, WMQL Radio, FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina, Coffin County Talk Radio, AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas, Taxpayer Radio, Gainesville, Georgia, WCNR, Digital in West Virginia, and K98Talk.com. Now let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, back from a hopefully a pleasant vacation this past week, Mr. Ken Brown.
Yeah, I got back from Vegas, took my youngest daughter out there. She's 22, so she's of age. She can gamble and do this. Of course, he's asked for her ID everywhere we went.
Yeah. Well, still young looking.
So we went down to the Grand Canyon, which I had never seen, which was, it is a wonder of the world because it's a massive area. It's amazing.
Right. So how did you do as far as the Vegas gambling? How'd you do?
I didn't gamble. I let her gamble. She played some blackjack and, she lost, 20, 60 bucks, I guess. I don't know.
Not a whole lot. Though.
She's kind of like her dad. She's like, you know, you start losing too much, you go, oh, okay, I'm not done. This is enough.
Well, that's good, I guess.
She lost 80 and she got back about 20 and then she went, okay, I think I'm going to stop. So, okay.
So she didn't do slots or anything like that, just mostly blackjack and stuff?
Just play blackjack. She she wanted to play with someone at a table that there were people that could help her, you know, that could,
right,
you know, nice people that were in the dealers always, they're always helpful too. They don't they try to tell you what the book says, and you know, you should hit 16 if the dealer has this, showing this and that kind of thing. And, so she was listening to everybody, and you know, you can't listen to everybody. So you,
right.
You always have somebody at the table go, oh, I'd hit that. No, I wouldn't. I'd stay right there. You know? So she look at me and I go, you know, this, it's, I don't know. I said, I can't tell you what to do because I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never really played blackjack. I've never played blackjack at a casino. Let me just put it that way. I mean, I know how to play blackjack, but I don't know how to win. Let's put it that way. I'd like to do it, sometime, but around here, the only casinos we have nothing but slot machines and,
You have the Indian reservation, don't you? Cherokee?
Yeah. And actually, they're building a brand new one in Murphy, North Carolina, which is closer to me. It'd be like an hour away. Right now, Murphy. Right now, the in Murphy, North Carolina, just across the border of Tennessee.
Yeah,
right now, Murphy. It's in Cherokee, North Carolina, and it's like 2.5 hours. So it's 2.5 hours over there and 2.5 hours back. It's, you know, a little bit of a trip, you know. But this new one, like I say, it's at right about an hour from Cleveland. So, I mean, if I want to go there.
Murphy's still fine here in Georgia.
Yeah. But here's the problem with these Indian casinos, and nothing against Indians. Let's just get that straight. But
they
do not have to go by federal law when it comes to setting the odds on those machines.
If you're
in Vegas and you're not owned by the Indians and you're Caesar's Palace or whatever, owned by the mob or whoever the hell owns it now, they have to have strict federal guidelines that you can only, you know, they have to be within a certain margin as to how often they'll pay out. When you go to an Indian casino, doesn't matter where it is, because they're their own nation, they don't have to go by federal law, and so they can crank those things so tight that it, you know, Jesus will come back before you ever hit the thing. So, when you go there, you just realize that it's going to be difficult to win. I have never won anything of any significance when I've gone over there, and I've only been there a handful of times, but each time I wind up just losing basically everything I have in a relatively short period of time. So,
yeah, well, they say that, of course, the machines are a totally different story, but they say the best odds are craps, which I don't know enough about craps to. I mean, I just enough to be dangerous.
Yeah, I think I told this story before on the air. I don't know if I ever told it on the air, but I used to have an uncle who used to run a casino. Okay, get that out of the way. And he told me, when we were talking about gambling one time, and he said, there's only two games you should ever play. He said, blackjack, because you do have at least a little bit better chance than you do with most anything else. And I understood that, because I understood kind of how that kind of works. But he said, by far, he said, the best game to play is craps. And of course, I'm thinking, well, you're rolling the dice. And I said, don't you have to be lucky? He said, no, you don't have to be lucky at all. He said, here's the way it works. He said, what does a house do every single time the dice is thrown? I said, I don't know what you mean. He says, every time the dice is thrown, what is the house betting on? The house is betting you will not make the throw, right? He goes, I said, well, yeah, I guess that's true. He goes, then you do exactly what the house does. He said, you line up there. He said, and every time somebody throws a dice, you bet they will not make the throw. He said, not most times. I said, sometimes they'll make it. He said, the odds are they will not make the throw, and you'll win. You're doing exactly what the house is doing. He said, now here's the big trick that people don't understand. He said, when the dice comes to you and it's your turn, pass and let someone else throw. He said, don't bet against yourself. He said, only bet against everybody else. He said, you won't be popular at the table. He said, but you'll win because you're doing exactly what the house will do. He said, if you sit there long enough, he said, and don't try to get crazy and like bet $20, bet $20, bet $20, and then all of a sudden bet $100. He said, pick a number you can live with, bet it every single time, never change it. And if you're going to bet $20, you bet $20, $20, $20, $20, and always bet they won't make the throw. He said, if you sit there long enough, you'll win. I go, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
So if I ever go, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I will take his advice and do that. So
I'm just it's just my money. I hate just throwing it away. I feel like that's when I go to gamble, that I'm just giving people my money. So I have to, I do what everybody tells you to do, is you take up a certain amount of money, and that's your entertainment money.
Yeah.
$50, $100.
Yeah, if you lose it all, it's gone.
Yeah,
it's gone.
That's it for the day, and if it's gone, it's gone. And if you win, so much the better. You use the house's money as your, but you keep the same thing. You keep the same parameters. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's not for me. Gambling's not for me.
Yeah, what I've always heard is gambling and the lottery are for people who are math challenged.
But, you always have to hear the story of people who win.
Oh, I know.
That could have been me. That could have been me. You know, yeah. The odds are 1 in something billion that you're going to win.
Well, it's like the lottery. And people talk about, one of the famous things is, you can't win if you don't play. Well, that's absolutely true.
Right.
But the odds of someone who doesn't play is just slightly less than the one of the person who.
got a point there.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Anyway. Okay, let's get started. Now, Ken, you were gone last week, so let's...
Yeah,
you didn't really get a chance to talk about this, the last debate, I don't think.
No, I didn't.
So, we're not going to take a whole lot of time on it, but I did want to get your kind of input on that, because everyone's already heard what I've said about the debate. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the show that I did solo last week, but... what were your impressions of the CNN debate that we had the previous week?
I think the rising star is the Kari Fiorina enigma. She was very impressive. I did not know if she would have the same effect on this stage as she did the last stage.
With the big boys, yeah.
Yes, and with Trump in there, because I didn't know if Trump would kind of overpower her. But you could tell that she held her own, and he's not. After a while, you kind of go, okay, I know what Donald's going to say. He doesn't say a whole lot, so. But when you listen to Fiorina, she's much more in depth.
She has details, very
knowledgeable. Yeah, what she's saying, and you don't catch her off guard. She's not one of those that's
far.
This is not very up to date on terms in any area that I could tell so far. So I was impressed with her.
Yeah, she's like we've talked about this before. She's like Rubio and Cruz in terms of they're well prepared, and you're not going to surprise them. Some kind of get you thing. And I was surprised at her answers when she's talking about the Middle East and how to handle Putin and stuff, and talk about rebuilding the Sixth Fleet and blah blah blah. She like gave several different things that she would do as commander in chief, and I thought, hey, she's kind of thought this thing out a little bit, That's pretty good,
And I there's part of me that really would love to see her on the stage with Hillary Clinton.
Oh yeah.
But she's called Hillary a liar, which she is. And
we're gonna talk about Hillary in a few minutes, trust me. But yeah, my thing was before the debate. I don't know about you, but before the debate, my top three were Cruz, Fiorina, and Carson. After the debate, my top three were Fiorina, Cruz, and Rubio.
Yeah.
And actually, I was disappointed in Cruz. I thought Cruz did well when he was called upon and when he had a chance to answer, which he always does. I mean, he does well. But he did not show the same tenacity that Fiorina did. Fiorina, when it wasn't even her question, she just jumped right in there. She'd go, hey, I got to talk about this. I got to whatever. She would do that kind of thing. But that allowed her to get more sound bites in there and to get her opinion in there and to in a way, dominate in some respects a few things. And that's what I wanted Cruz to do.
I think Cruz's problem is not what he believes, is how he brings it out. He comes across as a little standoffish, maybe. I don't know if that's quite the word I want to use, but I don't know. I wish he was more like Rubio, he was more charismatic. but he's just not that kind of guy.
Yeah, he does not have Rubio's charisma. That's number one. And I'll tell you something else he doesn't have, and I've never mentioned this before, but I think if I say this, you'll agree with me. Cruz does not have a very, quote, manly voice. He has kind of this kind of whiny kind of, well, we ate it. You know, he kind of, I mean, he's a very smart guy. He's, you know, he knows what the hell he's talking about and stuff. But I think if he had more of a, I guess the only thing I can think of is more of a male voice, a manly voice, I think it would come off better. And yep. I think people would look at him as being a stronger individual. And he can't help the way he talks. I mean, that's just the way he talks.
Right.
But, you know, I think it is a factor, though.
Yeah. I think that's part of what I was trying to say. It comes across as not being very pleasant to listen to, or I don't know.
Kind of whiny or nasally or something. I don't know. Yeah. It's.
And I think that's part of how you get to be the president. You know, look at Obama, you know, a smooth talker, you know, he is, but
give him that.
And that, you know, I think that's, unfortunately, that's part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's we spend enough time on that. Cause we got a bunch of stuff to cover. After the debate, the latest polls that came out, CNN came out with one, Fox has come out with one, and essentially in every poll I've seen thus far, Trump has dropped a little bit. Fiorina has of course, made a pretty significant jump in almost all the polls. And Rubio has done pretty well, too. And I guess...
Well, we lost Scott Walker.
Well, yeah, I was getting ready to say that. We'll go ahead and just move into that. First of all, did you see that coming?
No. But you're the one told me. You sent me a message or something. And I was like, huh?
Yeah, you were on vacation. I sent you a text.
Yeah.
Scott Walker's out.
I'm just like, what? Wow. I'm this early in the game, I really was shocked.
Well, see, I thought he would go at least through Iowa because the feeling was he would do pretty good in Iowa because of the evangelical vote and all that kind of stuff. And apparently he just, well, a lot of problems, but number one, he has not done well in either one of the debates. And secondly, money. I mean, you know, you don't have the money. I hate to say it, but you're not going to go very far. That's why these other, you know, we talk about these other candidates who are running for president nobody's ever heard of. And I kept saying they have a snowball chance in hell because they're not going to have the money. There's just no way in the world. And of course, none of those guys got on the debate stage. I mean, these are people that, again, little we've never heard of, but but I thought Walker would last longer than what he did. But now the question is, of course, now here's what was funny. I thought was kind of interesting. He encouraged several of the other Republican candidates to go ahead and get out of the race now too, that they needed to basically take down Donald Trump. He didn't mention Trump by name, but he said the current front runner. He suggested that. He suggested everyone else, all the others who don't have a snowball chance, get out now. In other words, people like Lindsey Graham and by the way, Lindsey Graham actually did pretty good on his little on the small stage. He actually did pretty well that time on that particular debate. But he's still getting basically 0% in the polls. I mean. He's not going to make it.
No, he's not.
I think Christie's going to be going soon. And of course, Lindsey Graham, I think Jindal too. All the guys that were on the small stage, those four guys are gone. Might as well just kiss it goodbye. And then on the top stage, of course, Christie and probably Rand Paul, which by the way, Donald Trump sitting there just giving Paul the business going. He goes like, I don't even know why he's on this stage. He's only got 1%.
I don't think Rand Paul doesn't know how to handle that.
No, he doesn't know. I mean, let's face it. Trump, his ego and the way he is, Most candidates don't know how to deal with it because they're so used to everyone trying to be polite and trying to this, that, the other, and Trump just kind of like, you know, he just poo-poos all that kind of stuff, and they don't know how to handle him.
You know, it's kind of refreshing in a way that, and you can see where I'm going with this because what happened to Boehner this week.
That's nothing. Yeah.
I like all this. I like, look, we don't like what's going on in Washington and Trump being in the head, Carly Fiorina, Ben Carson, all being the top three. Can you see what's happening in Washington? Can you see what we're talking about down here?
If they haven't figured it out yet, that people are pissed. And yeah. They're upset with Washington, and they're upset with the insiders, and they're upset with the Washington elite. And, I mean, look at the top. Like you said, the top three are all outsiders.
Yes.
They've never even held political office before.
Yes.
None of them.
It's no coincidence is what I'm saying.
It's not.
And Boehner, found out through listening to Eric Erickson's show that they had that meeting the day before. He called some conservative leaders in those caucuses, you know, they're in the,
right.
in the GOP, to his office, and he asked them how, you know, what can I do? You know, what can I do to make things, you know, work with us? And they said, well, you can either play nice or resign. And he guess he couldn't play nice, and he ran out resigning the next day. Erickson went on to say that they had a break and people went home and talked to their constituents, and all they heard was how they hated what Washington was doing. They weren't fighting for them.
Right.
And so you look at Trump, look at Fiorina, look at Carson. This stuff's, you know, it's coming to a head. The country's tired of this mess. I'm tired of the same old, of the establishment.
Yeah.
Republicans.
Yeah. Well, you know what they need to realize is that this whole thing of when you listen to people like Lindsey Graham, John McCain, Mitch McConnell, John Boehner, they always talk about, well, we don't have 67 votes and we can't do this and we can't override the president's veto and blah blah blah, so we can't do anything. So there's no point in even doing it. Blah blah blah. And I'm thinking they don't get it.
No,
people want. What, and we've said this before, you and I both said this before, they should pass these bills, put them on the president's desk, force him to veto it, and if the government's going to be shut down, by God, it'll be shut down by the president.
Let it shut down.
Yeah, they'd shut the thing down.
The last time they shut it down, what happened? Nothing. Everything went on just fine.
Well, you know, what's funny is I read an article the other day that when the government, quote, shuts down, it doesn't really shut down. The reality is that about 17% of government services are kind of stalled. But the basic infrastructure is still there. Yeah, of course.
They get back
pay, et cetera. I mean, it's a damn joke. Excuse me.
It is. I'm thinking, Mike, if I was in a job that the company shut down for a while, they're not going to pay me. The company's not making any money. But the government gets shut down, they come back and they pay them.
Well, yeah, if you're in a private sector job and you get shut down, you're shut down, shut down, shut down, and you don't get back.
Yeah. Money. Yeah.
You know. Jeez Louise. Okay. We only got about a minute and a half and we got to go to break. When we come back, though, we're going to talk about Hillary's FBI nightmare. And boy, has it gotten even. Oh, it is getting really good now. We're going to talk a little bit about Rubio kind of picking up the pieces after Walker's demise. One quote in an article that I put on the website was that, basically said that the bodies weren't even cold when Rubio was going in and sweeping up donors and grabbing staff from Walker's staff. So this goes to show you it's dog eat dog in politics. You know, that's just the way it works. And we've talked a little bit about John Boehner's resignation, but we're going to talk about, well, who's going to take his place? Who do you think's going to take his place? And we'll talk about that when we come back. Okay, let's go ahead and go to break here just a tad early. Thank you for listening to the Red State Town Hall program. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day, studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call 800-610-3497 and get your 44 pills for $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now, 800-610-3497. 800-610-3497. That's 800-610-3497.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-554-7159 and get 2 bottles free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month, so please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio, the Talk Monster. The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Okay, we're back. Thanks for sticking with us. This is the Red State Town Hall. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni. I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Ken Brown. Okay, let's talk about Hillary. Let's go ahead and... I tell you what, no, we'll save her for last. I always like saving her for last. Let's go ahead. Let's talk about the John Boehner situation. First of all, any predictions on who do you think will take his place?
Well, they talk about that McCarthy guy being... is the one
he's next in line,
front runner. They say he's pretty much like Boehner, but listening again to Eric Erickson, he said that McCarthy is a, in his words, transactionalist. That he does not, you know, Boehner was like, shut him down, like he wouldn't do it, forget it, get out of my face, and he would make enemies. He said McCarthy was not that way. So he said he is very much more of a dealer. You can work with him, you know, even if he doesn't believe in what you believe. Mm. So I don't know. Erickson made it sound like it wasn't such a bad thing.
Well, I'm not so sure I agree with that with Erickson. From what I've read, don't think I want McCarthy, but that's just me. But now, I tell you who I'd like to have, somebody like a Louie Gohmert or a Trey Gowdy. Now, I know that's probably not going to happen, but...
Well, Trey Gowdy would be my first choice.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Trey Gowdy has got very important work to do with the Benghazi subcommittee. I don't want him... I want him to be laser-focused on that. I don't want him to be distracted with anything. And...
Well, Gohmert's not going to do it because he's...
I don't think he probably doesn't have the support, you know.
He said that he's made too many enemies.
Yeah, yeah.
He's burned too many bridges, in his words.
Yep. He's right. That's true. I don't think there's any way in the world he could actually get that. But there's got to be somebody that would be more in tune with what we'd like to see. And I hope it's not McCarthy, but it may be. I mean, you know how the stuff works in Washington. You know, it's hard to tell. But we'll see. Let's talk a little bit about how this GOP civil war is affecting the 2016 stuff. Did you see the clip where Rubio was at this voter value summit over the weekend, or actually Friday, or whatever day it was? It's the same day that Boehner resigned. And he mentioned, basically, he said just a few minutes ago, John Boehner, and the applause, he got standing ovation because everybody was just so happy.
But there wasn't everyone standing up, but there was, most of them were.
Well, it was, I saw the video. It was most of the people were standing up. And
yeah, there were some people.
The cheer was pretty loud. And other people mentioned it too, but I think Ruby was the first one that mentioned it during the speech because it just had broken. Pretty much most of the candidates said this is a good thing. I tell you one thing that disappointed me, which they're not a candidate, but someone that disappointed me that I have some respect for, was Newt Gingrich. He actually put out a statement and said that John Boehner was a great guy. He was a true conservative, and he was courageous, and blah 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 blah. I'm thinking, what the hell, Newt? What are you talking about? Now maybe just Newt's just trying to be a nice guy and trying not to, you know, don't kick a man when he's down, kind of thing. I mean, maybe that's what's going on there. But I thought, who are you kidding?
You know, I think he was coming more from an empathetic standpoint. He was speaker before.
He was speaker, yeah, that's true. That's
realizes true. That, you know, kind of crap goes along with the job, and maybe thought he got some, you know, some bad turns, but I'm with you. I think, you know, Boehner didn't show me any fight.
No, and I tell you what, if I would love if Mitch McConnell would do the same thing. Now, Mitch McConnell's not going to resign, I don't think, but man, it would be nice if he were gone too. Jeez.
Yep.
God, that guy kills me. He just, ugh. What a coward. Him and Boehner both, as far as I'm concerned, they're gutless wonders. Both mm-hmm. of them are.
That's why I like Cruz, because Cruz just calls a spade, you know, and Mitch McConnell was, you know, he just flat lied to Cruz. And yeah. Cruz came out and told the country, he lied to me. I was lied to.
Yeah, I'd like to see Cruz as majority leader in the Senate. That'd be fine. I'd be good with that. Man, lie, that'd be wonderful.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and go ahead and move to Hillary. I want to get to this. This is so good. Okay, Hillary's FBI nightmare that she's got going on. We talked, I think, the last time you were here, Ken, before you went on vacation, we talked about this whole thing with the WIPE server, and that they were pretty sure, the FBI basically said they were pretty sure they're going to be able to get the stuff off the server. Well, guess what? It looks like they have. Now, it may be several weeks or months before they get everything, but they have all, listen to this now, on this supposedly WIPE server, they have already recovered 925 emails off that WIPE server. And the FBI is giving those emails to the Benghazi subcommittee because they're actually related to Benghazi. They're not just yoga emails.
Primo, that can't be right because
I said there was nothing. I know. Obviously, absolutely a mistake nothing. Has been made somewhere along the line.
Oh, that's hard to believe.
Yeah.
That we were lied to.
So her entire claim that, oh, I gave you all the things you needed, blah, blah, blah. And the thing was, is some of the emails, it's not that, I mean, supposedly all these emails have either something to do with her job as Secretary of State and or Benghazi, and all these things are being given to the Benghazi subcommittee. That's 925 emails that they didn't know anything about just a few weeks ago. Now here's the thing. Some of the emails were part of a chain of emails between Hillary Clinton and David Petraeus. And they were specifically about Benghazi. And, oh, I just can't wait till that stuff comes out. And think about this now. Remember, Petraeus got in trouble because of his situation. I mean, basically, he was going to be prosecuted over something that was far less than what Hillary has done, mm-hmm. and has paid the price on his reputation and everything. Yet, I'm telling you what, I cannot wait to find out what's in these emails. It's not been reported yet as to exactly what is contained in these emails. But how does she get out of this?
She doesn't. Well, we talked about this before. You think she could actually go in front of Trey Gowdy?
Well, I tell you what, with this revelation, if she goes in front of Trey Gowdy in October, after knowing that 925 emails had come off that WIPE server, and that they have the email chain between her and David Petraeus, she's dumber than she looks.
Well, this is what she's going to do, and you said it before. She's going to throw somebody under the bus. It was not my knowledge. I had no knowledge of these being wiped. My understanding was they were
my staff did this.
My staff did this. I did not do it. I don't know anything about electronics and
They assured me that.
Yes, blah, blah, blah. They assured me that it was this, and so someone else did it. If she has it won't be Huma; it'll be somebody else. But she'll throw somebody under the bus.
Yeah, and then she'll say, "I take full responsibility, even though I had nothing to do with it."
I love that line.
I love the way those politicians—they don't act, say it exactly that same way, but that's exactly what I'm saying.
I had no knowledge, but I take full responsibility. The buck stops with me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Is there any wonder why Trump and Fiorina and Carson are in the lead? There's, I tell you, it's going to be interesting 2016.
Well, you know, all these polls come out. We neglect sometimes the polls about Hillary, and of course she's lost support, and the question of whether or not you support her and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if you know this or not, but the poll that came, there was a Fox poll that came out this past week, and of course Hillary's big claim to fame has always been she does very well with women, right? Of course. Do you know that when it comes to her favorability rating, do you have a favorable opinion of Hillary Clinton or not, or an unfavorable opinion? She has lost, not kidding you, 50% of the female vote on the favorability question. 50% of the females are saying now that they have an unfavorable opinion of her.
That's her base.
That's how the hell can she possibly hope, if she can't prove on that and can't turn people's opinions around on that one issue?
I'm telling you,
there's no way.
She's number one in what's the best thing can happen to the Republicans if she stays in the race. That is the best thing. If she gets out and somebody comes in, Biden or somebody, because, you know, Biden, even though he's an idiot, people like Joe Biden.
He's like it. Yeah, he's like
it. And look at Bernie Sanders, the socialist. I mean, it's amazing to me. That's the worst thing. The worst thing is what's her name? Elizabeth Warren. If she got in the race, because she's very – I listened to her on one of those talk shows. She's very animated. And people get behind her because, you know, she can rouse things up in people.
Yeah.
I think Hillary being in the race is the best thing for Republicans, period.
Well, yeah, but you know what's funny is when all this started, when all the talk of 2016 started, the Republicans, everybody was like, oh, Hillary, she's going to be a formidable candidate. Oh, man, she's going to be tough to beat Hillary. Hillary has the Clinton machine. Hillary has this. She has Secretary of State. She's popular. She's the most, she's the smartest woman in the room. She, you know, I mean, all this kind of stuff. And come to find out, she's not so damn smart after all. And most everybody thinks she's a crook and at least a liar. And go right down the list. And like you said, she is the best thing that could happen. As long as she's in the race, I don't really know if it matters who the Republican nominee is. I think anybody just about that was on that primary stage just about could beat her. I don't know about Rand Paul and Christie, but I'm talking about you take the top three or four or five. I think all those people would beat her. And they'll beat Sanders too. Sanders, I don't care. I know that people don't really understand what he really is. But he will be exposed. If Sanders is the nominee, whoever the Republican nominee is, they will tear him a new one. And explain to everybody what his policies are and how they have failed miserably all throughout history, throughout the world.
Well, just him saying 80 to 90% of your money goes to taxes.
Well, that alone ought to be enough.
Yeah, that's enough.
You would think that'd be enough, but there are a lot of stupid people out there, trust me.
I mean, I know there are.
You see these men on the street interviews that keep showing up on YouTube. Yes. It just drives me. I can't believe. I just think, oh God, we're doomed. If people are this damn stupid, we are doomed.
Yeah, I know.
Did you see the one where the guy, I love this guy, the guy's name is Mark Dice, and he does these interviews, you know, and he's talking about, have you heard that Richard Nixon has jumped in the GOP presidential race? Do you think Richard Nixon has a chance to win it? And nobody had a clue who the hell he was. And people are saying, oh, yeah, I think he has a good chance, or no, I wouldn't vote for him. I don't like him, or this, that, and the other. And nobody knew until there's one guy that finally knew that Richard Nixon was a former president and was dead. There's one guy. Now, there may have been others, but what showed up in the video was person after person after person thinking that Richard Nixon was running for president and was now going to be a top contender. And one of the, and because he would say, do you think he can beat Donald Trump? Can he beat Ted Cruz? All these kinds of, can he beat Hillary Clinton and all this kind of stuff? And it was hysterical, but it was sad too.
It is sad. It's a sad thing.
Oh my God.
I watch it and laugh and cry at the same time.
Yeah. Oh my goodness!
What are we heading for?
Well, the reality is Americans do not know their history. That's for sure, and they don't even know their presidents. I mean, it's almost as bad as if they go, did you hear George Washington has entered the race? Not quite that bad, baby. I just wonder how many presidents they could pull up there, and I would be willing to bet that probably, half of them, they could put them as the example and nobody would have a clue. Especially if you pull up like something like Millard Fillmore or something like that that maybe people have never heard of, whatever, that kind of thing. They probably could do John Adams. They could say, that's a kind of a generic name. They could probably say, John Adams is in, blah, 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 and probably somebody would buy that. I mean, I'm sure there would be probably 50% would go, oh, really? Oh, yeah.
But they would probably say, yeah, I like his beer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure somebody would say that. You know they would.
Yeah, I like his brother Sam's beer. Whatever. Hey, they actually were cousins, weren't they? Isn't that what the deal was? I think Sam Adams was John Adams' cousin, I believe.
They were cousins. Yeah, they were.
I think they were cousins. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Oh, God. I wonder if they. I sit here thinking. If they said that Abraham Lincoln was running for president, I wonder if they would figure that one out. You'd think that would be one where everybody would know, right?
You'd think.
I bet you there'd be some of those beach bunnies they get, airhead girls,
Guess is they've already tried it, and the people were on to that one.
Kind of got onto that one, maybe. Yeah, it could be. God, we live in such a wacky world,
Are you still going with the Hillary's thing about, what did you say, before Christmas? She'd be out?
I think she's out at the very least by the end of the year, but I don't even know if she's going to show. If she shows up for the Benghazi subcommittee hearing in October, she's nuts.
She's not going to do that.
I don't think so.
No.
So what's going to be the excuse? Because she's already said she's going to. So now what will be the excuse? Will she say, I've talked to my attorney, and I've decided that in order to not incriminate myself, I'm going to take the fifth, and I'm not going to appear.
No, she won't say that.
She won't say that. So then what will be the excuse as to why she won't show up?
I don't know. She'll go with something. She'll say something about...
it's because I'm a woman.
Her schedule doesn't allow it I got too many things to do as a potential president. And
I don't have time for this. I'm trying to get this country on the straight and
narrow. I've already been there once. I've decided that I've said all I can say to that.
Yeah. I've reflected on this, and I have thought long and hard about this, and I really see no point in testifying again. I've already done so. So, I will not be testifying, and I'm sorry. Kind of thing.
I don't think she
Think anybody else. Will buy that? If that's the excuse? Well,
no, I won't.
Well, I know. None of us will. Anybody who has an IQ above room temperature is not going to believe that. But there will be people who go, well, of course she doesn't have to be there. I mean, blah, 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 blah. That kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, I think that, it's the Democrats for the most part, stick together.
Oh, they do.
And they're gonna stand behind her as long as they feel like she's the only thing going. And right now, she's the only thing going. Bernie Sanders is not a threat to her. She's the only thing going. And
Bernie Sanders, I don't think, is a threat to anybody.
If Biden gets in the race, or Kerry, or whoever gets in the race, and they think, you know, this guy or woman, whoever, has a better shot, then you'll see some breaking of the ranks. Right now, no. Even though there's people that are not happy with Hillary, and a lot of them.
No, I think the person that could benefit the most, assuming Joe Biden doesn't get in, is that Martin O'Malley guy. If Hillary dumps and gets out of the race, which I think she pretty much have to, I really don't see how she can continue at some point. At some point, even she's going to figure it out. Martin O'Malley would probably be the biggest winner of that, because I don't think Elizabeth Warren's going to get in the race. And at first, it looked like Joe Biden was not going to, but now the rumors are spreading that Joe Biden is thinking about really doing it now. So,
Was it New Hampshire poll or Iowa poll or someplace where he was like, he got 21% and he didn't even enter the race?
He's not officially in a race, and he may not ever enter, but he was polling around 20-21%, which is pretty good for somebody who's not even running.
Somebody's not even in the race.
Yeah.
And that's been zero campaigning.
Yeah. And if he were to announce, I think Hillary's support would just go right down the tubes completely.
I think so.
Hillary go from wherever she's at now to about half what she is now. Just by Joe Biden announcing he's running.
Well, maybe he's just biding his time. No pun intended. Till his you caught that, didn't you?
A little slow, but I got it.
but until, let's see, just how with this Benghazi and email and all that stuff kind of shakes out, because it's getting worse by the minute.
You know what? I bet Joe Biden's sitting there looking at all this and going, God, I'm glad I don't have email. Because I'd be willing to bet he doesn't. At his age, he's probably not very tech savvy, and I'd be willing to bet he probably doesn't even communicate via email. I mean, I don't know for a fact, but could be.
There's nothing funnier than to sit and listen to his gaffes, you know, when back to back.
Oh yeah, you can put together about a 10-minute video of nothing but Joe Biden gaffes, you know.
Biden presidency.
Again, if whoever the Republican nominee can't beat Joe Biden, because I think Joe Biden could be an actually decent candidate for the Democrats, because like I say, he is likable. At least he's likable. And everybody doesn't assume that everything he says is a lie, like they do with Hillary.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, he's not a crook. He doesn't have any financial dealings that would make me think that he's, you know, has those kind of problems. I mean, the Clinton Foundation alone ought to disqualify this woman. I mean, seriously.
Well, Biden could be a big effing deal.
He could be. Ken, I hate to say it, but we're out of time.
Oh, already?
Yeah. You ready to take us out?
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. We're out of here. We'll see you next time.